Today's sponsor is Audible.com, who has more than 180,000 audiobooks and spoken word audio products. Get a free audiobook of your choice at www.audibletrial.com/shark. Hey, welcome to Movies, Films, and Flicks. I'm your host, John Lasswa. Joining me, as always, are my co-hosts, Mark Hoffmeyer.
So I was just watching the new Hateful Eight trailer, and Kurt Russell is in it, and he plays a guy called the Hangman. He hangs people. Do you think he hangs people from trees?
I like to think he hangs people, like, from trees, but he does it, like, kind of Spider-Man style.
I think he hangs people with the curls of his mustache from his upper lip.
Wait, so what's Spider-Man style from trees?
Like, they're doing it upside down. He makes them kiss like people upside down.
Wait, so he just drops them from trees?
Yeah.
And they kiss the ground?
Yeah, Kurt Russell plays a very weird character in Hateful Eight.
And does he hang them upside down with his mustache, like Levengood said?
Yeah. It's like a Rapunzel, but with facial hair.
I mean, if you're in California and you're on the Redwoods and you're hanging them from your mustache hair and you drop them, they'll definitely kiss the ground.
Oh, yeah. It wouldn't be a fun kiss.
There's been better.
Yeah. Levengood, how do you like to kiss people?
How do I like to kiss people?
Just like a little peck,
or do you with a Scott Speedman and Kate Beckinsale like passion?
Oh man, sounds
like something out of Underworld Part One.
Yeah,
not two, three, or four.
No, one. Part one.
I remember watching two, and one isn't great. Obviously, not everybody's great. One isn't very good. But I remember watching two and being excited for it and just being completely let down.
Oh, I love the action in two, though.
The first one just made sense to me. And then it all just became – well, the third one – I just like Bill Nighy, actually. He wasn't in the second one. He was in the first and third.
It was a cool concept. It just kind of went off the rails, like, during the second movie.
And then four had the giant lichen, and now five is going to come out.
You know what I don't like about the fourth one with that lichen? Like, there's a giant werewolf, and instead of just grabbing people and bites their head off, it just throws them 20 feet and allows them to escape. And then it catches up to them, and it throws them 20 feet and lets them escape.
I want to know where all that mass magically came from when it got. That's what I want to know.
It's like the Hulk. Maybe it has gamma rays in them.
Yeah.
Like a. But the mass still has to come from somewhere. It doesn't matter what their cause was.
Maybe he's fish.
But where? We see him grow.
He turns his back. Every time you watch Underworld, when he's about to change, he turns his back.
Like 1,000 pounds of fish just right behind him and we didn't see it?
Yeah, that's why they always cut away for like 5 minutes. He's just eating fish while he's turning.
How do you feel about part five coming out?
Whatever.
Yeah. I think that's the best reaction you could have to Underworld 5. It's like, whatever.
Like, I think the fourth one was only made because of that one shot where Kate Beckinsale's crawling through the air duct. Mm. You know what I mean? Like,
it's a good shot.
There's no point to, like, these movies. Like, they're just like, put Kate Beckinsale in something and she'll shoot something. And we'll make $30 million. And then we'll make $70 internationally. We'll make the budget back.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why I watch a meter. Just maybe because Kate Beckinsale is pretty to look at.
You know, I got two words for you. Leather pants.
Yep. Time Magazine placed her at number three to be the next Bond behind Jude Law and Ewan McGregor.
Wait, how did they arrive at that?
They did like age, experience, height, blah, 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 blah. Like an algorithm. Okay. And she's number three behind Jude Law and Ewan McGregor. They did 55, I believe.
Am I like number 47?
Yes, you are. And Lazavath is 32.
Oh, I'm higher than Levengood?
Yeah, I don't know. How'd you do it?
I live life dangerously. I always keep a Walter PP7 in my back pocket.
Is it because of those motorcycle stunts you did on YouTube?
Yes.
And John just has dirt bike. Levengood just has dirt bike, and you have motorcycle.
I would fall off of my dirt bike.
I've also got my my gun barrel sequence walk down. You know, yeah. Like the beginning where like they're walking. I've been practicing that.
So you've just been basically watching Levengood's YouTube videos and one-upping him behind his back.
Yeah. Shh, don't tell him.
But yeah, so I mean, I think you and McGregor would be a good Bond.
I don't know. For some reason, I wanted like an unknown actor to play Bond at this point. I know Daniel Craig wasn't completely unknown, but like he wasn't Ewan McGregor when he took on the Bond role. I want someone similar where like he hasn't blown up yet, you know?
Like literally?
Yeah, literally. Well, you can't film a Bond movie, he's blown up, right?
I'm getting Lazvath back earlier. We were talking about beer and I was like, yeah, it's blowing up. He's like, no, I got the can in one piece. So
Hey-o.
Bazinga.
All right, guys. I feel like we're getting off the rails here. So I'm going to get it back on track. Mark, what are we talking about today?
Trees.
No, seriously, what are we talking about today?
Trees. What? So I'm watching Last Witch Hunter. And in the beginning scene, it's a bunch of Vikings. You know, Vin Diesel has a fake beard and blah, blah, blah. And they're going up to battle this evil witch. And the evil witch doesn't have a castle. She has this massive tree that is the house to a bunch of plague flies. And so once these flies hatch from the tree, they infect the populace and they cause like the Black Plague. That's what it was. The witches did it. And later on in the movie, of course, the witch comes back. There's more of a plague tree. And it just got me thinking about trees I don't want in my front yard.
Like that's one of them. That's one of the trees.
Yeah, like cinematic trees I don't want in my front yard.
All right.
So I'm just... I kind of dug through some movies. You know, some were obvious, some weren't. And I put together a list of 11 cinematic trees I don't want in my front yard.
Oh, man. And this is number one, or number 11.
Yeah, no, number one is actually the plague tree because, okay. I mean, it would take up a ton of acreage. Like, it would basically be your front lawn. You know what I mean? And it's like, let's say some guy comes and starts it on fire. Like, what fire department is going to come to put out a plague tree? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, they wouldn't want to go anywhere near it. Like, I'm not
like you get the call. Hey, the plague tree is on fire. Can you guys come put it out?
No.
No. You know, like it's not like so. It basically takes up your entire front yard, and it's a huge hazard, and it spreads the plague. Yeah. I don't want it in my front yard.
Since that's not, I mean, anything that's involved with the plague. Probably not that cool. By the way, this tree looks a lot like the Game of Thrones tree, but way bigger.
Yeah, it's just annoying, you know, because you have crusaders showing up to battle the witch all the time. You got to deal with them.
You got to clean up the dead bodies.
Yeah, like
after the crusaders are fighting.
You know, are they making camp in your backyard? You know, like this is just annoying. I don't want this tree in my front yard.
Do you have to like get a city ordinance, like voucher or permit to put a porta potty out there? And if you don't, what are they doing? Where are they going? Like the bushes? Like,
and you could have no irrigation because the roots of this thing spread all over the place. So it probably wrecks havoc on your foundation. And
it's probably sapping all the water out of your lawn too. You got a dead lawn.
Yeah, I mean, and like it's all the shade, so nothing will grow underneath it. Like, there's already sinkholes in Florida, so imagine the sinkholes this thing would cause. Oh, it's just a nightmare. It's a nightmare tree.
Yeah. I wouldn't.
I don't.
Yeah.
Don't put it in my front yard, guys. Don't put plague trees in my front yard. Is all I'm saying. You know, it's one thing I want in my life, and that's not to have a plague tree in my front yard.
No, I agree.
Well, I mean, there are plague trees. They're pretty bad, but I mean, there are some trees that literally would, like, commit criminal acts.
Yeah, and that's our second one, which is the Evil Dead tree.
Oh, yeah.
And for every reason, I wrote why. So why wouldn't I want this in my front yard? And my explanation for why is, you know why.
I don't want to get...
If you saw the remake of Evil Dead, you know why. But if you saw the original Evil Dead... You really know why. Because like, that was...
I don't want to get sodomized by a tree.
Basically. But that was not consensual, what that tree did.
I mean, like, you couldn't really have visitors. Like, let's say you live in, like, a townhouse with no backyard, and people really can't come. Like, you can't have people walking through your front yard with the Evil Dead tree there. You know what I mean? If you had a backyard, like, maybe
it's
you
like,
could have people park, like, in your backyard.
It's like, Mom, right? don't come to my house. And she's like, she gets offended, like, why, you don't want me in your house? I'm like, no, I just, listen, I don't want the tree to, like, yeah, let's not get into it.
Yeah, and this is, and then be like, this isn't one of those things where I'm saying don't, but that means yes. Like, just literally do not come to my house.
Yeah. I'll come to you.
Yeah, exactly.
So the tree in the original Evil Dead was actually so heinous, even though Sam Raimi liked the idea at the time, that when he made Evil Dead 2, which was largely kind of a remake of Evil Dead, it was discussed, and he didn't want to go where he went with the original with that tree, which is why you just see an evil tree attacking the house at the end. But then in the remake, they kind of reapproach the evil tree scene from the original, but they don't quite push it as far. But I mean, he, even when he was with a better budget remaking his movie superficially, his Evil Dead 2, he didn't even want to go there again the same way. Like, he didn't think that people would take it so well.
Like in the first one, I don't want to sound vulgar, but this tree kind of has a woman tied down, and this branch comes out of nowhere and just goes thump, you know, like right into violates a person. But like, right, you watch it and you're just like, oh my gosh.
Like, oh, you just lock up. Like, even as a dude who sees a lot of horror movies, and I've seen this one over and over and over again, like, when I see that, that's kind of like when I'm gripping the seats, like with my fingers, just like tightening my grip.
I wouldn't even want like a lawn crew coming over to my house to, like, you know what I mean? Like, but how could you mow your lawn having this thing in your front yard?
Yeah. It's not good. Not a good thing.
I mean, it could be like a good, like, protection, you know what I'm saying? Like, it could be like a good theft deterrent.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't chance it.
I mean, no, it would also witness.
Be a good thief killer. Like, it would be life deterrent.
Like, no, yeah, so, no Jehovah's that's my second one. I come to your house. It's like,
well, so, like, no, I'm going to leave it alone. Your next tree is going to take us into a new interesting place.
All right, so my next tree is the Ernest Scared Stupid Treehouse. And the reason why is because it attracts too many trolls. So, like, you have this awesome tree, right? You build this, I mean, amazing treehouse. I mean, this treehouse in Ernest Scared Stupid is amazing. But then you have this great treehouse, but then this evil troll who hates children tries to, like, respawn his progeny in it. So you have this tree on your front yard that is the house to, like, evil trolls.
So, how long did it take Ernest to build this treehouse?
I mean, in the movie, it looked like it took him a day.
Like, then you just go make a treehouse somewhere else.
But imagine looking at that treehouse every day and knowing you can't go play in that thing. That's like having an 80-inch TV in your house and being like, I can't watch it.
That would never
happen
to me.
It's a reminder of what you can't have. Yeah. And that tree was perfect.
So the troll is – so I haven't seen this movie.
Wait. But aside from treehouses, you have a tree in your front yard that's home to evil trolls.
So how is the troll using this for its progeny?
Well, you saw that, like, in the tree, in the middle of it, he takes his little wooden statue kids, and there's five little holes in the tree where he places the kids.
Those holes were just there. Like,
yeah, they were there. It's an evil tree. It's like, hey, you know, like, I'm here for you, troll. You put your wooden statues in me, and I'll spawn a bunch of Brussels sprouts that look like trolls.
Like, I don't know. Like, yeah, that tree had plans in its own, like, interior decorating. Like, it had orifices to put these petrified kid statues.
Yeah, so, I mean, even if you didn't have a treehouse in there, you still have a tree in your front yard where evil trolls are growing.
I mean, I guess I just put some cute lawn gnomes there instead.
Would they battle?
Like, can I just harvest the incomplete growing trolls, like chicken eggs, and make something out of them for breakfast? Mean,
could you feed them to werewolves while they're turning?
While they're turning?
Yeah.
While they're turning?
That's how they get so big.
But I mean, just imagine that. You're like, you're going out with your coffee and to get your paper in the morning, and you just see a bunch of Brussels sprouts, and you're like, damn, trolls are coming again. Right?
I mean, it sounds like a pain in the butt. It's like, honey, I gotta go. You haven't eaten breakfast yet. I don't have time. But, you know, once that sun comes up, the trolls are running all over. I gotta go beat the troll traffic to get to my car.
And you see him out every night with a baseball bat hitting the Brussels sprouts off the tree and, like, getting chased around by Trantor the troll.
I don't know. I feel like after a while, though, like, you would get used to it and you would just kind of – it'd be, like, hard to fall asleep without hearing the trolls. It just like
you
like,
do not get used to being attacked by trolls. On no, your
listen,
your car.
It's like getting used to hearing the sound of like a really loud air conditioner every night. Like after a while, like you can't fall asleep without it. You know, it's like after a while you can't fall asleep without hearing like a troll just like. Outside,
I,
just like,
I suppose you could cut a deal with them and be like, "Listen, I'm going on vacation for 3 weeks. You know, watch my house."
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Like, would they mess up the house though,
or they? Oh yeah, they would tear it up.
Oh yeah, okay.
They're slobs. So I mean, you don't want to ever leave your house. It's you're constantly battling trolls every day.
Oh. This sounds horrible. I do not, Mark. I do. You know what? Call your arborist. Brother-in-law, I do not want this tree in my front yard anymore.
I would cut that thing down for sure. But then there'd be a troll army deflecting it. You know, like you'd have to dynamite it or hope lightning strikes it.
All right. So our first tree was like kind of prophetically evil. Our second tree was truly evil. Our third tree was like a vector for creating evil.
Yeah.
Are all your trees actually evil?
Well, my fourth tree isn't evil. It's the home tree from Avatar.
Okay.
But like, all right, so it's a good tree. You know, it's like a healthy tree. But it sits on top of a bunch of minerals. So the last thing I need is like some evil corporation showing up to my house and being like, "We're digging under your house." I'm like, "No, man, I like my house." They're like, "We're digging." You know, it'd be like a, you know, of course it would end up badly. And what happens if like lightning strikes the home tree, right? And a branch falls off and lands on your house. Your entire house is crushed. So automatically, you're not going to be able to insure anything on your house.
Yeah, that Avatar tree wasn't so. How big do you? How tall do you think that Avatar tree was? Like 1,000 feet?
It was like a skyscraper, easily, right? Easily. And like, yeah, blue people falling out of it. It's like a skyscraper. Yeah, branches falling. I mean,
10-foot-tall blue people.
Imagine during the winter when the leaves fall. You know how much raking you'd have to do?
Can we just get the blue cat people to do it, though?
Yeah, oh, you would have to hire, like, 3 crews. It would be like a big snowstorm, but with leaves.
That actually sounds kind of fun. I don't know.
I mean, for kids, yeah, but you don't ever, you know, like, you don't always want to be looking up and going, is that branch going to fall on my house today? You know what I mean?
I will admit to being the kid who just jumped in the leaf pile. Just, like, having to re-rake it.
I don't think I would find my kids if they jumped in a leaf pile from this tree.
They would be lost to time.
They would. It would just be gone. And then you got blue people. You got these angry dudes showing up going, I'm digging under your house. You know, like, it's just like, guys, you know, like, and there's be like, you know, nothing could grow because all the shade. Like, it would just be a nuisance, right?
Yeah. It's a good cat people, they'd be like hunting your pets if you let them out.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you let out your dog, it'd be gone.
Fido.
Yeah, Fido would be dead.
Yeah.
And people would be plugging themselves in their backyard. There'd be like weird stuff going on all around your house. Branches are falling, leaves are falling. It's just not worth it. The home tree is not worth being in your front yard.
But it looks pretty.
I mean, it looks great. Yeah. It's a great looking tree. I mean, you know what? If I had like a you know, if I owned Disney, you know what I mean? I would put it there for an attraction. But I wouldn't put it in my front yard.
Right. Because you don't like Disney.
You know what I mean? Like, all right, so in St. Pete, I had 2 big trees. Outside of my house, lightning hit both of them. One of the branches fell on our garage and I had to re-roof it, and it was like the worst weekend of my life.
Oh man.
So I don't want to deal with that from like the home tree.
Yeah, if the home tree fell over, you're gonna have to like rebuild your entire house,
the entire neighborhood.
Yeah, I was like, oh man.
Yeah, like no insurance, no one's covering that.
Well, I mean, if one of those branches got legit knocked off from the base, it would actually take out like the whole street.
Yeah, it'd be done. It'd be done. Like, it's just like, hey, I like you, tree, but, you know, you're not for me. You know what I'm saying? It's you.
Like, I'd be arguing with the HOA. They'd be like, yo, your tree's branch fell and, like, destroyed all 5 of our houses. It's coming out of your insurance. And I'd be like, whoa, the lightning came from your side of the property line.
I mean, you would have to deal with like insurance. I just don't want to deal with it. It's an unwanted nuisance.
And no one likes HOAs. No one likes an HOA.
I'm not dealing with it.
Yeah.
So the next one, it's not as big, but it's very unpredictable. It's the Harry Potter Whomping Willow. And like, you know, it's outside of Hogwarts, you know, it's kind of a good tree. It protects things, but like sometimes it gets kind of annoyed and hits cars and like, you couldn't park anything in your front yard. Like, it's just unpredictable. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a good tree, but it's kind of like having a lion in your house. You know what I mean? Like,
it's like the tigers or whatever, or lions or whatever they were in Gladiator on the chains. Like, it's like, how long is that chain? Am I too close?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, I don't think it there's no evil to it. It's just like, it's a whomping willow. It's going to whomp on things. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can train a cheetah, but if it gets hungry, it's going to attack you.
I mean, it's okay. If you have like an invisibility cloak, then you just kind of, you know, kind of saunter past it, you know, back and forth. But invisibility cloaks are kind of hard to come by.
Yeah. And like, you can't park anything in your driveway.
No.
You know what I mean?
It's going to get womped on.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I like the word womp. Like, I'm all for that word womp.
Yeah.
But I'm not down with stuff getting womped on my property.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I support it on my neighbor's lawn.
Yeah.
I'll have to walk around it. You know, but like, you'll never be able to play a pickup game of football in your front yard because you'll get whomped.
Yeah. Oh, that tree, man. Like, he'll just, like, he'll defend any pass.
Yeah. We should have done that for our fantasy draft.
Oh, man.
I mean, the last thing you want on your front yard is an unpredictable whomping tree.
I'm looking at your list, and I don't think I want your next tree either.
Oh, gosh. It's the Sleepy Hollow Tree of Blood and Summoning Power.
Just that name. If someone knew that you – it's like, look, kids, when you walk home, take the long way. Go down like Oak Street. And they're like, Mom, it's three extra blocks. It's like, I don't want you walking past that tree of blood and summoning power. That just sounds so ridiculously over-the-top evil.
So imagine you're having a dinner party, right? Like, you're having a big party at your home. Like, you have about 50 people. It's catered, right? Everything's going great, but then a headless horseman pops out of the hollow tree of blood and summoning power and just starts hacking up your guests. Like, that's, you don't want a tree where headless horsemen, you know, fly out of.
Nothing good is coming out of a tree called the tree of blood and summoning power. It's not like Emeril comes out of there and he's like, I'm going to cater your party. Like, and I don't know why all of a sudden he sounds like a Chicago Italian either, but he does. I'm going to cater your party.
You'd sound a little disheveled too if you just came out of a tree.
Yeah. Like, whoa. So you're sitting there inside, right? And this headless horseman comes out and starts whacking every car with swords. Like, with his sword.
With Ray Park's.
Yeah.
Skill and flipping axes. And
guess who's responsible for paying for the damage?
Yeah, all of it. And it's like, hey, you guys want to come over and play poker? Are you going to pay for my car when your headless horseman comes out and starts? Wait, did you say Ray Park was a headless horseman?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Ray Park played the headless counterpart of the headless horseman. Made perfect sense because he's not very tall and he has amazing skills with light handheld weapons.
Yeah, I don't want him now. I don't like. I thought it was just some guy swinging a sword. I thought it was like Christopher Walken swinging a sword.
No. When you see how he is like flipping the axe in a single hand, like over and over, like, it makes all these sounds, and his sword too. Like he is doing some like kung fu theater fighting with those with that sword and axe.
And can you become friends with the headless horseman?
Well, he can't hear you when you try and reason. Like if you're like, yo. Horseman, let me buy you a beer. He doesn't have ears, so he's just gonna stab you in the face.
Yeah, you would never become buds. So like,
and what's he gonna do? He's like gonna pour like some nice like double bock that you give him like right down his neck hole. Like yeah. He can't even enjoy a beer with you.
Yeah, I don't want that tree in my front yard.
Lazavath, would you want that tree in your front yard?
I would, because I feel like it'd be a hit. I feel like
it's
it'd
like
be
my neighbor's
Halloween.
A dickhead. I want that tree there to take care of.
You would never pay rent.
That's true.
Like, hey, guys, come evict me. I guess if you squatted in a house with these things around, it might be okay.
But how do you get past those things in the first place?
But at that point, you're squatting in the house because you're afraid to leave the house. It's like you're in the Demon Knight house. Like, you just don't want to leave.
Like, you're outside.
Like, you could get around the last Witch Hunter tree, but you don't want to be next to it. The Evil Dead tree, you're not getting around it. The stupid treehouse you don't want around because trolls are coming from everywhere. The home tree, what?
These trees are all in the front yard, right?
Yeah.
Can you just go out the backyard? Like, there's nothing in the backyard.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, a lot of people don't really have backyards.
Yeah, that's true. Okay,
dude,
so.
The horseman on his horse leap out of that tree hole. He will be from the front to the backyard by the time you took two steps steps.
And we're thinking St. Pete, too, where there's a lot of alleys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, in my house in St. Pete, we had the front yard and the backyard. You could park in through the backyard.
Wait, but so hold on. Are all these trees like together, or are we just talking like separate instances?
Individually.
I mean, if there's two trees, you're just too really up shit's creek.
I was about to say, like, because when the Headless Horseman, once he came out of tree, wouldn't he just be grabbed by like the Whomping Willow?
That'd be the best. So wait, two, like, you know what? If I could have any two trees in my lawn, I would definitely have the Whomping Willow, just simply because anything that came out of those trees would get whomped.
Yeah. It would just be like a battle of trees.
That'd, I mean, I'm down for that. That'd be kind of fun.
Be like Lord. You'd be
playing bongos with trolls.
Yeah.
All right. So my next one is the Wizard of Oz, the jerky slap tree. So there's like this scene where, you know, in the Wizard of Oz, she walks up to a tree and she pulls the apple off, and the tree's like, "Hey, why are you pulling trees from my branches?" And he slaps her hand, and it's like, "Listen, tree, you're in my front yard. You got free rent. You're not going to eat these apples. Let me have them." He's like, "No." So this is 0 point to have a grumpy tree that slaps you in your front yard.
That tree was a jerk.
He was a jerk. Why do you, like, he won't let people eat his apples?
I think that tree was literally mutilating itself to get back at her for mutilating it.
Yeah, and it's just slapping her. And like, she did nothing wrong. He sounded like he's just an angry Philadelphian. Sorry, Philadelphians.
Well, is the Whomping Willow also from Philadelphia? Would that explain the orneriness?
I feel, where is he from? Because he's not that much of a jerk. He's just more unpredictable.
Yeah.
What, the tree?
Yeah, the Whomping Willow. Is he a jerk?
He's from Chicago.
There we go. Okay.
he and Italian Chicago Emerald, that they're neighbors.
Because I feel like he gets it. You know what I'm saying? Like, the Whomping Willow is like, "Listen, I get it, guys, but I'm still gonna whomp you because that's just my nature." You know what I mean?
Yeah. It sounds like a proverb where like the tree explains itself. Like, "Look, this is my nature. This is what I do."
Like, when things get bad, I feel like the Whomping Willow is like, "I'm with you." You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But the jerky tree from Wizard of Oz is just gonna be like, "Yo, no. Hey, I'm really hungry, man. I'm starving. Can I have one of your apples?" "No, I'm gonna slap you." Like, I don't like him. He's my least favorite of all the trees.
So if you wanted to make an apple pie, it's gonna hurt.
Yeah, I'm gonna hurt that tree. Oh. I'm gonna be out fighting that thing. You're like, man, if someone filmed it, just picture you looking through, like, doing some dishes, and you're looking through the front window. I'm gonna be out there wrestling with the tree trying to get some apples.
Yeah,
I don't want to deal with that in my front yard.
It's like, oh man, you don't know what I had to go through to get this bushel.
Like, I don't want to eat that guy's apples. They're probably gross.
Yeah. I'm actually not a fan of apples, but thanks for the effort.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. You know, I'm all, like, black-eyed and, like, slapped up.
All right.
So the next one is, I think he's almost as much of a jerk, I don't know if it's a he or she, as the Wizard of Oz, but it's the poltergeist tree who attacks old children. And it's like, tree, you're a tree, and you're attacking little kids. Like, that's not cool. You know, like, attack, you know, the Whomping Willow. Don't go after little children.
But was it really the tree, or was it the dead spirit that was possessing the tree?
I mean, I think that tree was up to nothing good.
Oh, okay.
Hold on. In both, now, I'm not a fan of the remake, but, you know, in both of these movies, right when they, like, pull up to the house before they've even been in it, the young son in both movies, 1982 and 2015, the kids look at the tree for a second like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Like, so they know right away that there's something wrong with that tree. It's not like one day a poltergeist zipped into that tree to expedite something. That tree has been tainted from a long history of evil spirit exposure.
Yeah, like, yeah. So it maybe started as a tree, but now it's just, you know, a jerk.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like it was a normal tree and then it had, like, there was a full moon and it went werewolf and suddenly got ugly and evil. No, that tree was evil looking from the first scene.
Like, you know,
and even more evil in the original. That remake, ugh.
You know how Gollum got like
corrupted.
He was corrupted. So I think this tree is like the Gollum of trees.
I feel like that tree isn't even necessarily possessed by all those evil spirits anymore. I feel like in the presence of so many enraged spirits that tree literally manifested its own evil.
Ooh. Yeah, and that's why it's a jerk. I mean, like, your kids would never sleep.
Poor tree.
They're like, "Dad, there's nothing good with that tree." And then dad's like, "Yeah, whatever, it's fine." It's not good. Look at that picture. It's like reaching for the little kid. I hate big people that pick on little kids, and that's what that tree does. At least go after Sam Rockwell.
Oh, well, by the way, folks, if you want to hear us ream into these trees and more aspects of that movie, podcast episode 16, we do Poltergeist original versus remake.
And so the next one is the Pan's Labyrinth Toad Tree of Gross Bugs and Toads. Oh. And it's like,
did you make up that name?
Or yeah,
that
I made it up.
Okay, because I like the name.
For me, it's like, you got this tree, right? And you got to, like, it's all gross and buggy. And there's a toad in there. So, like, a lot of, like, people are going to be searching in this tree for this toad to get this key for immortality. You know what I mean? Like, this, like, I don't want people visiting my lawn messing with the toad in the tree. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I mean, if I'm on a trail and I see a toad, I look for the closest tree so that I can find immortality.
I mean, exactly. Like, you know, who knows what kind of, like, woodland creatures are going to be sending little children to the tree to accomplish three tasks. It's just gross. Like, this is a nasty, fungy little thing.
Yeah. It's going to make so much noise at night, too.
It's just, I don't want it. Oh, that's a big toad.
Yeah. It's like, oh.
That thing was a big toad. That was like those African toads that eat baby deer.
Yeah. Like, I just don't want to deal with it. It's all gross. It's a gross tree.
Wait, that toad could have attacked that little girl at any moment.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want a toad that can attack any of my children or pets.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I want to feed my birds. I like having birds in my front yard, and I can put suet blocks out. The toad will eat those things.
At the same time, though, you'll take care of the other the nuisances, you know, like the groundhogs.
So your lawn would be pest-free, but you just have to deal with a giant toad?
I mean, it'll never be 100% anything. There'll always be compromise somewhere. That's life.
I mean, I guess it's like, it's not an outright evil tree. I just don't want to deal with the grossness of it. You know what I'm saying? I feel like my front yard would just be a pile of mud.
Well, I mean, some people's front lawns are like just a pile of mud.
Shrek Swamp.
Yeah, it's like Shrek Swamp. Yeah. You know, like, no matter, you know, I know a lot of people in Florida cover their lawns with like stones, but everywhere else that wouldn't happen. Maybe if I lived in like a cold place where it froze up during the winter, it wouldn't be that bad.
Maybe.
No. You know, I just don't want – it's not worth it. It's too gross. The next one is the Conjuring tree that dead witches hang on. It's like, you know, why? Like, I don't want this thing. Like, what? It's just – you know what I mean?
I mean, why would it be bad? I feel like it would only be
unless
bad.
Unless you're Ed what's his name? Ed something, Ed Warren. Unless you're like Ed Warren or Lorraine Warren, you're not seeing what's hanging from it.
Yeah, but you feel it. You know what I'm saying? Like, look at that tree. It doesn't look right.
Lazabeth, what were you digging into just then?
I was about to say, like, unless you're like a witch, you know, why would you have anything against the tree? I'm just like, well, I'm not a witch, so I'm fine with the tree.
I gotta tell you. The tree that I don't want for a very similar reason of the Conjuring tree is the Sinister tree. Because once you move into that house and you see those old, like, whatever Super 8 film or whatever that is, and now you know the history of that tree in your backyard. No. That tree had like a whole family on it.
Oof. Yeah. I mean, that's a jerky tree. I feel like this tree houses this spirit a little bit. You know what I mean? So if you move into this house, like, it's just not a good tree.
That's unfortunate. It's true. Like, I don't like that it's a witch. If the witch was dead and that was it, like there was no haunting or possession that went with that, I'd be very comforted that, yeah, like my tree was used to take out some evil. It's like a hero tree. But when the evil is still lingering, it's just like, I don't care what that tree did. I'm getting out of this house. Sorry, tree.
Yeah. I don't know. And like, imagine people drive by your house. Like, what if somebody does see it in your front yard? They're going to come bother you. Like, it's just not a tree. It's not worth it. You know what I mean? Your house is going to be haunted, pretty much.
By chance.
You have to deal with that stupid clapping game. You know, like, good-looking Ghostbusters are going to show up at your front door.
Way better looking than the real version.
Yeah, exactly. Like, like, it's just going to be – I don't know. It's just not worth it. So, I mean, the Conjuring tree is not for me. And the next one, the one I finished with, is the Guardian tree, who sucks people into it and can bond with evil people. Like, the – the tree has, like, babies in it.
So, This movie, by the way, like, I saw this, I want to say, like, it's like a 1987 or something movie, but I saw this in, like, 92, 93 from the local video store where my mom just gave permission for me to get R-rated random movies, and I always pick weird horror movies. And this is one of those movies that I saw, like, really in my early years, and now I'm just sitting back, like, I don't know what this is, but it's awesome. And then I watched it again, like, 10 years later, and I'm like, I don't know what this is, but I guess it's entertaining with a six pack.
Yeah. But like, the tree has babies in it. The tree eats babies. And like, it can bond with evil people. Like, it's just not worth it. If this is on your front yard, there's going to be some really weird people attracted to it. They're going to come into your house. You're going to seem all normal. Things are going to get weird. They're going to be in your backyard haunting you. Like, it's just not, you know, it's just a really bad news tree.
Like, you're just trying to watch Netflix and you have like all this stuff going on outside. And like, oh, man.
Yeah, I don't need some tree with babies in it.
I just want to binge watch Breaking Bad.
Yeah, no, I don't need people, I don't need jerky people banging on my window because, you know, they've bonded with the evil tree.
Okay, now hold on here. So we've actually just gone through like 11 evil trees. So if you had one of these evil trees, right, and let's just say it's not the Avatar home tree, which is ridiculously big, and you want to solve this problem, and you're in over your head in the house, you can't move. What do you do?
I mean, I think I would have to probably get the jerky slap tree.
Really?
Because, I mean,
how do you get rid of the tree?
I'd go out there and just chainsaw the little bastard.
So, okay, I thought that you'd say something like
I would kill it.
And when you say that, I think of Fern Gully. What happens if when you chainsaw it, you actually unleash the real evil and you get Hexus or something, voiced by James Woods or something?
Oh, if James Woods popped out of the jerky slab tree.
Or no, I'm sorry. It was Tim Curry, wasn't it, who voiced Fern Gully?
I just don't think the Wizard of Oz jerky slab tree has, you know, Tim Curry in him.
Hey, you know, the tree in Fern Gully was just like, it wasn't hurting anybody. It was just sitting there.
Yeah, but you know what? If I killed the Wizard of Oz jerky slap tree, I'd feel pretty good about it. I think it'd be worth dealing with, like, Tim Curry.
It was coming to him.
Do you think that, like, on an overcast, like, kind of creepy day, you'd come outside if you had that Wizard of Oz tree and you'd have, like, you'd get harassed by flying monkeys that are perched in it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, that, I just realized that's another complication is the local fauna that's attributed with these trees. Like, we talked about the toad, right, with the Pan's Labyrinth tree, but like, and the trolls with the Ernest tree, but like, how about evil flying monkeys that are governed by this witch?
Yeah, that's another problem. That's why I'd want to, if I had to take down one tree, it would be this Wizard of Oz jerky slap tree. I'd blow it up.
And that's a whole orchard of evil trees.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's the other thing. Most of these trees, we're talking about a single tree, whereas the Wizard of Oz, that was – I mean, you're getting – it's like a snowball fight where it's eight people against one. You're getting hit from all sides by these apples.
Oh, gosh.
That would hurt. That would hurt.
I think the best one to have would be the Nightmare Before Christmas trees because they're such wimps and they're always running away from stuff. You could chase them off. Yeah, so I don't know. What tree would you guys deal with? Like, if you had to have one of these trees in your front yard
– I'd probably just
go... Honestly, for me, the home tree.
What about you, Lazavath?
I'm going to go Whomping Willow. I'm not saying I'd win, but I feel like it'd be a good time.
It's like that home tree, though, like if a branch fell, the branch is going to fall like 1,000 feet, right? Okay. It might not even hit my house. It's so big. Like there's a chance it might not even hit my house. It might just hit eight neighbors' houses. And the other thing is that like, you know how a lot of lightning strikes when you have like a 2-foot diameter tree, like it might split it down the middle a little bit. That tree is so big. A lot of lightning strikes, like they just, you know, it's like a little scab on that tree. Like it's just going to be fine. It's going to rain firewood on me. I'll just be like, oh, firewood. Cool.
What if one of the blue people drop a knickknack out of their thing and it lands on your house? Like, there's just
– Okay, that is – okay, now we're getting to the local fauna again. Yeah, that's true.
Like, what if miners show up to your house and go, hey, we want what's under your house?
It's – you can't obtain it. It's unobtainium.
Yeah, but then you're going to find, like – they're going to get you. Like, that guy's going to come out of there. They're going to try to buy it. They're going to hire some thugs.
When they came in, though, they offered a lot of money to the cat people. They just weren't going to leave their home, whereas me, I'd be like, wait – How much you offer me? Yeah, I'll go get a condo downtown. Like, this this is fun. With me, it's fun. That's not my home tree. It's, and my religion isn't designed around it.
Ooh, I like that.
That's their, that was their religion and their faith. Their sense of afterlife was linked to the home tree. You know, all their heritage. Whereas for me, it's just an annoying tree on my front lawn that's giving me a ton of leaves, literally a ton of leaves every few days. And so, like, for me, I'd be like, wait, you're going to cut me a check for what? Yeah, I'm going to get a condo downtown.
Okay, I like that. I think if I could move away, I would pick the home tree. But I kind of like the Whomping Willow, too. I feel like he's got some style.
So you know what I mean? Like, here's how I see a fight between me and the Whomping Willow going down. Like, it would just be me dancing in and out of the reach of the Whomping Willow. Like, I would just taunt it, like, continuously.
Thing is that if you were trying to move out, you literally can't move out when you're dealing with the Whomping Willow because it would be like a game of whack-a-mole.
Yeah.
The movers are going out with the couch, and it whomps it. And then the movers are coming out with your ottoman, and they whomp it.
That's where I come in. I distract the Whomping Willow while, like, they're moving my couch or something. Like, over here, Whomping Willow. You can't catch me.
It's got multiple whomping limbs.
I know. I just have to keep in mind, like, his reach.
It's like when you play. It's like when you play Whomp-a-Mole with a mallet in each hand. Yeah. He's getting you, and he's getting my bed set when it's coming out. The movers are holding the bed. It just shatters the bed set when it.
I can assure you, Lovingood, I'm quicker than the tree. I'm not worried.
Well, then it'll miss you and hit my ottoman.
Listen, not everything's gonna make it out.
You know, my lazy boy chair is not very adroit.
We'll get 90% of the furniture out. You know, you'll lose like a stool or something, but.
And if you move and you have the Pan's Labyrinth tree, the toad will just watch.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be fine. All right, guys. Quick question. We talk about trees we don't want. Like, what are like one or two trees that you wouldn't mind having? Or is this like two?
We can think about this.
I can think of two.
All right, let's hear it.
I guess one of the ants from Lord of the Rings. You know, those guys are cool.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they let you ride on their shoulders and whatnot. And also, this one should be obvious, but Groot from Guardians of the Galaxy.
He doesn't say much.
Yeah. He'd be a cool guy to hang out with.
I kind of like the Ent, because I don't think he would ever bother you. He just sort of sits there sleeping.
Yeah.
But like, Treebeard would just be chilling.
If you ever bother an Ent, though, oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what, you know what tree I want, guys?
Yeah.
I want the tree with Bill Murray in it and Get Smart.
Oh, yeah. Like, Bill Murray gets sad every time you leave. Like, where are you going?
Yeah. I would just put a lawn chair out and just drink vodka with him.
Yeah.
This might be the teenager in me, but I'd want the tree from The Last Unicorn because it had big boobs.
The Last Unicorn tree?
Yep. The cartoon movie from the 80s, The Last Unicorn.
Wait, I'm typing it in right now.
The tree had boobs?
It had huge boobs.
Oh, man. I don't think I've ever
seen... They were all in this little wizard's face.
I don't think I've ever seen tree boobs before.
If you look up The Last Unicorn tree in YouTube, you'll get, like, a bunch of videos of this.
What? I'm looking at that right now.
And it's got its... And the dude is tied to this tree, and his face is between its boobs. And the boobs are, like... 5 feet in diameter compared to this little wizard in this movie.
So this clip right now about The Last Unicorn, this guy wrote, "Watch The Last Unicorn last night. The 80s sure got away with a lot of shit."
Well, that movie's creepy as hell. As it turns out, in the movie, it actually insinuates that the tree is going to try to smother him to death when the unicorn tries to save him, because only she will have this wizard. But putting aside that weird sickness that, again, did slip into an 80s... children's movie. Like, it's just a tree with big boobs. I'm talking about the teenager in me, not the 10-year-old in me.
I like it.
It's still weird, to be honest. Yeah, I don't know. I'm having, like, mixed feelings about this. I'm looking at the picture right now. It's just, like, very, very awkward.
I want Bill Murray. Yeah. I want the Bill Murray tree.
You know what? I think tree boobs is a good note to end this podcast on.
Yeah,
I don't
perfect.
How you guys feel. All right, before we sign off, though, do we have any plugs to make?
Yeah, listen to the podcast, rate, review, share. Yeah. Come to Movies, Films, and Flicks.
Yeah, hopefully our shows will show up on iTunes.
It occurs to me, isn't there like some holiday that no one ever gets off called Arbor Day that we should have saved this for?
I mean, mean, I can make a note.
When's Arbor Day? It's one of those days no one really cares about unless you're like really into saving trees.
People will care if you give them the day off. Like, oh, I love Arbor Day.
Dude, I will literally hug a tree if I got the day off.
I will go out and plant a couple trees, maybe.
I'm not going to hug any of these trees.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe the last unicorn tree.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, even, eh. I don't know.
Hey, to all you listeners, on a closing note, by the way, of all the things that we or other people do that so many other people do, we might review a movie and other people do. We might talk about our favorite death scenes at some point and other people do. Who else? Who else out there? What's the date today? Say the date so that if they hear anyone else talking about cinematic evil trees in a podcast or article, it's probably going to be after this date.
November 5th?
November 5th. Yeah. You all heard it. Put it in the filing cabinet. Throw it on the ground.
Remember
the shark dropper away.
Remember the 5th of November.
We've seen a few of Mark's ideas later trickle down the media vine, and so I'm officially noting the date. So when you guys see it elsewhere, it probably was us first.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Talking about tree boobs.
Yeah.
and whopping.
Yeah.
That's a great word.
Whopping?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if it was whacking willow, I'd just be like, screw that tree. Let's go to the next scene.
Yeah, whacking willow doesn't work.
Sounds very inappropriate, actually.
Like, all of a sudden, I look forward to that awkward blonde chick talking to her invisible, like, undead horse monsters.
All right, guys. I'm going to go try to find the copy of the Last Unicorn for
research purposes. Yes.
But I'm for my co-host. I'm just so flustered. I'm just looking at a picture of tree boobs. It's weird. I don't know how to think right now.
I just opened a whole new world to Lesbeth here. Yeah.
I didn't know trees had boobs.
Yeah, in all seriousness, guys, I would love for us all to watch The Last Unicorn and then talk about its craziness. That's not an original idea. Other people have done it, but I think it would be a lot of fun.
I'm down.
Dig it.
All right, guys.
It's the weirdest movie.
From my co-host, Mark Hoffmeyer.
Peace, love, Kurt Russell.
John Lemongood.
Tree Boobs.
I've been your host, Tree Boobs. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.
T-minus 5 seconds till shark drop. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Drop the shark! Go! Go! Go!
This podcast is a Shark Dropper Studios production.